Our reading this evening comes from the first book of Samuel. We read from the second chapter, verses 1 through to verse 11. The prayer of Hannah. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumble are armed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. May the Lord bless to us our reading from his holy word. Amen. The story of Hannah in the Old Testament is one that leads us in the paths of dedication, commitment and obedience to God. Who was Hannah? Well, she was the wife of Elkanah. She was desperate to have a child, but she was barren. She couldn't conceive. In these days, Elkanah had 2 wives, of course. These were the days before the sort of development of the understanding of what marriage was as a covenant. And there was occasions in the Old Testament where we do read of men having 2 or even more wives. But what does this say about this man? He loved both his wives. But Hannah was his special. He gave a double portion of food to Hannah because his other wife, Penina, she was someone who used to tease Hannah that she couldn't conceive and have children. And that brought even greater hurt to this woman. She desired more than anything else to have a child of her own. They used to go up to the shrine at Shiloh in order to sacrifice to the Lord according to the laws of Moses and the prophets. They would go there, and the priest who was there, Eli, was someone who hearkened to Hannah's desires. She was desperate for a child. So much so that once in her prayers, Eli the priest thought that she was drunk. Such was her passion to have a child of her own that she could bring up and nurture. And she made a promise at the shrine in Shiloh that if God would bless her with a child, she would dedicate that child to his service and to his service alone. "I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked for," we read in 1 Samuel 27. "So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord," and he worshipped the Lord there. Subsequently, when she was blessed with the child Samuel, when the child was weaned, she took the child to the shrine at Shiloh. And with Eli the priest, he was brought up in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. And you remember that Samuel himself, the child that was born of Hannah, was someone who was a servant of the Lord for all of his days. He was called, you remember, in the darkness of the night. And when the call came for him to serve God. And he was instrumental as one of the early judges in establishing the monarchy in Israel, eventually going to a town called Bethlehem and calling David the shepherd boy to be the king of Israel, who would follow Saul, the one in whom the Lord was displeased. So Hannah was, first of all, a woman of faith. She was a woman who prayed. And she was a woman who saw the just rewards of her prayer. But once her prayer was answered, she gave the child she longed for so much back to the Lord, that he might be a servant for the Lord for all of his days. And we get here in this second chapter, after the story of Hannah, the prayer that she prayed. And I think it's appropriate on this Sunday evening of Mother Sunday to look at this prayer and see what was Hannah's example here, because it was an example, as I said, of commitment, of dedication, of offering herself and that child in which she was given to the work of the Lord. And there are moments in Scripture that seem to be very special, and I'm sure these words are particularly special for us. It's one of those moments. It is not, in a sense, not only a celebration of a mother who finally received the child and she longed for, it was a proclamation, if you like, of a believer who had discovered the very character and nature of God, to whom she gave her life in humble obedience. So what we find here, she rejoiced in the Lord. She rejoiced in the God who had redeemed her, the God who had hearkened to her prayer. God had answered her prayer. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. Notice what she doesn't say. She doesn't say, my heart rejoices in Samuel, my son, not one little bit. She doesn't say, my strength is exalted because I finally got what I wanted. Her joy was enrooted in God and in God himself, because God had answered her prayer in those circumstances, and her joy was in him. To know the joy of the Lord is so special, dear friends. To know the joy that Hannah knew is something that we can know as well in our lives. When we believe and trust in the God who is the creator of the ends of the earth, and the God who answers the prayers of his saints. I chose that hymn tonight, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We sing it so often that sometimes we lose the sense of power in the words that are there. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? That had been Hannah's experience, because Penina had really teased her and been unkind to her because of her barrenness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The reality that we have a friend in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. And when we pray in our own circumstances, we find sometimes that we feel those prayers are not answered. But we need to be patient in the prayer, as this woman was patient and waiting for the Lord she trusted in to answer her prayers. And we need to be sure that as Christians, God will answer the prayers according to his will. Not what it is that we want, but that which we need. He will give to us along the path of life. And when one door closes, perhaps another window will open, another opportunity of seeing the goodness of the Lord as we seek to trust and believe in him. I know we live in a secular society, a world which is fast losing its way, a world that doesn't believe in prayer. But we are those, the people of God, who have made a commitment, as we have sung tonight, and we need to believe that God will answer the prayers of his saints according to his will, and gives us the assurance that he will be with us. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honour. That's where the way in which Hannah expressed her gratitude to God for answered prayer. So when we pray, and perhaps there are circumstances in our life that we pray for, perhaps there are burdens we want taken away, remember that God will be with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Remember that we can turn to the Lord in prayer and find comfort and blessing in him. Because when the world forsakes us, he will remain faithful. And he will keep and guard us even to the end of time. That's what Jesus has promised. And you notice throughout the word of God, there is this assurance. Let's look at the Psalms for a moment. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. I know that my health and strength cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Health and strength. We all pray for health. And sometimes when we're unwell, we pray for that more than anything else. And perhaps sometimes we have to bear that burden in our lives. We have the reality of a promise that he will be with us, the great healer, the great physician. He might not take the pain away, but he will give us the assurance that he will bear that pain with us. And that's the promise he has made. Let's look at another psalm. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's the good shepherd. Leads us beside the still waters. Leads us in the paths of peace to give us that assurance. And that joy, even in the midst of pain and sorrow sometimes, We pray that God will take it away, but he will alleviate the pain when we look to him. And we will understand that we are not alone. That's what this woman knew. She found her joy in the Lord. That's joy. That is not happiness. It's not a word you can sort of compare with anything the world can offer. It comes from a deep and trusting belief in the God who has redeemed us, in the Christ who has died for us, and in the Christ who said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will be with us. But George Matheson said, I trace the rainbow through the rain, as I said this morning, and know the promise is not vain, the dawn shall tearless be. Yeah, the dawn will tearless be. Will it be? Yes, it will be. There will one be one day, dear friends, when pain and sorrow will be no more. That's the Christian's assurance. But for now, remember that God understands. He understood Hannah. He answered her prayer. And he will answer your prayers according to his will. Not only did Hannah rejoice in the Lord, but she delighted in that which he had accomplished for her. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises it up. The accomplishments of the Lord. The accomplishments of the Lord. Think of that for a moment in terms of your life and mine. What have we accomplished in life? Perhaps we haven't accomplished much in terms of the world, because really the world expects different accomplishments of those who seem to be high on the level of influence, politicians, entertainers, world leaders. They have arrived. They've accomplished. Yeah? Perhaps we look at them and say, wow, I wish I was like that. I was watching a program of David Beckham this week. Wow, that man has made millions and millions, billions and billions of pounds by now. A simple lad who came from Dagenham in Essex, an Essex boy. Yeah? But he could kick a ball around the field. Huh? Isn't it marvellous? I wish I could kick a ball around the field like that. Huh? But the reality is, he's accomplished. And you look at the icons of the world, and they are icons. I've got no disrespect for David Beckham at all. I think he's a good father, and he's a good man. But what was being expounded was his wealth. What he had accomplished. The millions of pounds that he has now, and the business interests he has, and all that he's going to do. And others like him. Mr. Trump, who's made himself a billionaire while he's been in power as president, he's feathered his own nest, and it seems to be that we look up to people like that and we think, wow, I wish I could be like that. Yeah, but do we really want to be like that? I don't think so. Somebody said to me, I wish I could win the lottery, I'd give Greenfield a lot of money. I said, I wouldn't want your money. Huh? I wouldn't want your money. No, I wouldn't want it. Yeah, and you look at those people who have won millions of pounds, a lot of them have ended up bankrupt because they spent it all and it's all gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yeah, we've got our priorities wrong. That's the trouble. What does the Lord require of us? A humble and contrite heart. Do you know we have riches beyond compare as Christians? Do we have something that the world cannot give? Do you know that God has blessed us abundantly? Because he's answered up. This woman had come to the pinnacle now. She was so grateful to God for what he has done that she was willing to give everything she'd had from God back to God. It's an incredible story. Listen to what she says. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. But he will bless his saints, those who belong to him by faith. I think that's a wonderful assurance for us tonight. Yeah. So remember, dear friends, remember that you might have all the money in the world. You might have all of the influence of the world out there, as many do. But we have something far more precious. That's to do with what God has done for us in Jesus. He has saved us from our sins. He has set our feet on the path of salvation. He has given us a vision of a coming kingdom that has nothing to do with the wealth of the world and the influence of the world, but all of what God has prepared for his saints, beyond what we can comprehend. Yeah, that's what the Word of God says. Beyond what we can even begin to comprehend. God has prepared for those who love him. That's your inheritance. It's lovely to be in a will, isn't it? To get a heritage. To get get something. It's wonderful, perhaps, when you're in the will of God. Because he has given you that assurance, dear friends. This was Hannah's assurance. It is not by strength that one prevails. He will give strength to his saints and exalt the horn of his anointed. So, dear friends, let's be sure that Anna tonight has given us this assurance on Mothering Sunday. Love, grace, salvation, peace. It's all a gift of God. There's something more in this story. The final verse of her prayer shifts from personal praise to prophetic vision. That's what we find here. Her life is a reminder that God has not yet finished the story. It's not a finished story here. It's just part of the story. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. There is a reference here to the coming Messiah. Even Hannah was able to prophesy this about the coming king. He will give strength to his king, the one who would come to fulfill all that Hannah had known in her life. And she points to the one who would come in the fullness of time to be the Redeemer of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the process begins from Samuel. We see that Hannah committed this child to the work of the Lord. That he became, if you like, one of those judges who was to be instrumental in the lineage that would come. This man Samuel would go to a little village called Bethlehem. There he would call a young boy named David. And from the house of David, from the house of Jesse, would come the Saviour of the world. And the lineage of Jesus, we can read it in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1. We can see the lineage from that very time. That a Redeemer would come, one who would fulfil all righteousness. One who will bring hope and joy and peace to the world of which we are a part. Are you worried tonight of what's going to happen in Iran? Are you concerned about the warring that's going on in the world? The evil influences that are around us in the world today, they are all around us for us to see day by day. And we can see it happening before our very eyes. We seem to glorify, as I said earlier, the wealth and the influence of those in the world. But in the end, there's no pockets in the shroud, and that's the truth of the word of God. You and I have something more precious tonight. He will give strength to his king, the one who would come. And from the lineage of Samuel, from Hannah's prayer, there came this wonderful fulfillment of the one who would come to be Saviour, Lord and King. You see, Hannah says much here about those who would benefit from the coming of the glory of God. She speaks about the weak being strengthened, that the full would go, the full would not go hungry. The hungry are filled. The barren women will bear children. The proud are humbled, but the humble are lifted high. This is not poetic exaggeration. It is biblical theology. It has to do with the intentions of God. Hannah is declaring that God is not bound by human systems, hierarchy or limitations, but it is his will that all would be saved, that all would be redeemed. And that's the glory that we share in this Lenten season. The fulfillment of that promise, the one who would come to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who would come to fulfill the prophecies of Hannah, the prayer of Hannah that would be fulfilled in him who was born in Bethlehem for us, the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. It is in him, dear friends. Hannah and the whole of the Old Testament points to him. The fulfillment of the promises of God would be fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, who would come into the world and whose beauty and grace and love for sinners is something that she knew in her life and which she knew now would know would be fulfilled in his ministry and his compassion and his love for others. Look at the one who came. The one who came to be the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley, the Lord Jesus himself. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He condemned empty religiosity. He gave to his saints that assurance and his disciples that they were part of something that God had ordained. They were part of the story, like Samuel, like Eli the priest. They were part of the story of God that found its fulfillment in Jesus and him alone. And so, dear friends, at the end of this Mothering Sunday, let's remember Hannah's prayer. Let's be sure of it. She gave glory to God. She praised him. She trusted him. She prayed. Her prayer was answered, but her commitment was that she gave this son back to God for his service. Take my life, we have sung tonight, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be always only all for thee. And that is why tonight we have this glorious gospel. Everything that Hannah prayed for was fulfilled in Jesus. And the power of the love of God is something that I believe is at work in the world today, despite the evil of men. Because he will bring the exalted down, yeah. And he will exalt the humble. And we are part of that. The part of this church, the Lord of Jesus Christ, ordained to his glory. And that's why we have a mission, and that's why we need to share the good news of Jesus, showing his love at every opportunity. We had a young man from Nigeria in the congregation this morning. His name was Elijah. Is that a biblical name for you? Sorry? Ezekiel. I knew. I thought it was Elijah. Sorry, Ezekiel. I knew it was a biblical name. And I was speaking to him before the service, and he was from Nigeria. And do you know in Nigeria, Christians are being killed and martyred every day? Yeah. They're giving everything on the altar of service. They are being cruelly persecuted, like in many parts of the world. Christians are dying for their faith. And dying because they trust and believe and will not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. In the eyes of the world, they seem to be the losers, don't they? Yeah. Why? What's the point? But in the eyes of God, they are his saints. He will take the humble and he will place them in a place of glory. That's the promise. For all who trust in him, all who believe in him, there is that wondrous assurance, that wondrous joy. Hannah's prayer was answered. Whatever your prayer is tonight, dear friends, let me tell you, he will answer that prayer according to your will. And because of that, let's give glory to him. Let's give back to him our praise and adoration. For he is coming in glory one day, and all flesh shall see him. It's a long track in this world. The going is hard. Like Hannah, perhaps we've had many discouragements. But let me tell you tonight, you're on the winning side. Like the saints through the ages, we're on the winning side. We know where we're going, and we are the people of God. So be grateful for that tonight. And when you go home and watch the news tonight, remember, watch it through eyes of faith. God is still on the throne, and God will bring his kingdom. Hannah knew it, the saints through the ages know it, and we can know it too. Amen.